Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game. Here with me in studio, Weasel Weasel.
Yeah, boy.
Stephen Weasel Hurley bringing it along. Unfortunately, Chris is keeping us all safe from fire. He has he is on a shift tonight with the Sumter County Fire Department. But woe not, my friends. Our good friend Chris Rankin will be calling in for the study hall. I can give you one spoiler, though. We're in class. Shut up, teacher. Damn it. Anyways, but I'll give you one spoiler. You ready, Weasel? You ready? The study hall spoiler. I'm creeping up. Oh!
All right.
We'll get more into how exactly Kyle is creeping up when we get to the study hall. But got to tell you, Weasel, if we were talking about, let's see, things that we could have probably done without, what would be on your list of things?
Done without?
You know, like Ebola, you know.
Yeah, that whole Ebola thing. Yeah. That would be nice to get out.
You know what I think we could have done without? The Texans and the Jaguars on Thursday night. Segways.
Segway, yeah. Okay.
Weasel's like, where are you going with this, Kale? I mean, hey, you have to work pretty hard to make this game entertaining. It was not a great game by any stretch. There were some moments in it, and the team that had more moments won, and the team that had more moments, in this case, very simple, it was the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they take themselves out of the hunt for the first round pick as the Titans remain 2 wins and the Bucks have 2 wins. So I'll tell you what, Weasel, right now the advantage goes to the Bucks. So if you're a Titans fan, you are cheering for the Bucks to beat the Saints this week so you can have a shot at Marcus Mariota. cynical. Anyways, I don't know. Yes, I don't believe in tanking on a personal note, but I will say this. The Texans need something. The Titans need something. Weasel, go ahead.
Yeah, for the division, yeah, the Saints, they're not playing for anything. So, the Bucks, the Bucks kind of have a chance. So.
So you're saying there's a chance. Thank you for that setup. That was great. big moments in the game. Charlie Whitehurst, of course, the quarterback in this particular case, had a touchdown, 267 yards, 24 for 35. Blake Bortles not having really a fantastic night passing, 13 to 26, 115 with a touchdown. Woot. Woot. Toby Gerhardt had a touchdown, but Todman, the running back, 5 for 71, also had 6... also had a 62-yard touchdown. I think that you could say it was a difference in the game. I mean, you know, the bottom line, the Jaguars' offense had more dimensions to it. They had a good ground game. They didn't make any mistakes in the air, whereas the Titans really just had Whitehurst throwing it all about. Bishop Sankey ran 14 for 44, not necessarily very great. Whoopee. Titans, Jags, there you go. Best Jackson can do now is a third-round pick, and they're competing with the Raiders for that. I think the Jags won that head-to-head, so, yeah, they don't even get the third-round pick. Okay. Anyways, keeps looking up for Jaguars fans. This is that moment, one of those moments where I wish I had the con wave still. I need to work on that. I need to repair that. Anyways, speaking of teams under repair, two more here as we come out with early, the Giants and the Rams. Look, I'm going to call it what it is. Odell Beckham continuing to make the case. Weasel vehemently defended Odell Beckham Jr.'s right to be considered for a Rookie of the Year this year.
Yeah.
Hey, I listened to the tape just today, man. You were about to cut Chris. It was, no, okay, it wasn't that violent, but you might have. Odell Beckham Jr. had a great game again. 8 catches, 148 yards, 2 touchdowns in toppling the Rams 37-27. Yes, Weasel.
Actually, I'll bring it up now.
Go ahead.
There were supposedly like cheap shots to the Giants.
Yeah, and what
the Rams
actually
were talking about.
I can see why you brought it up, because your boy Odell Beckham Jr. indeed involved in one of the plays in question. Go ahead.
And so Beckham was getting tackled out of bounds, going out of bounds. So
right.
What happened was this was late in the first half.
Right.
Rams linebacker Alec Ogletree.
Ogletree, correct.
He had wrapped him up out of bounds. You know, usually when you wrap him up, you let him go or like slow down or something.
Right.
But
Ogletree kind of continued to drive through the way.
And he tackled him to the ground.
Correct. And what it looked like to me is Ogletree had no idea where he was on the field. I don't think he realized he was that close to the sideline. That's what I saw.
But so he swung the football on him. It wasn't a punch, but it was like
being Odell Beckham.
Odell Beckham, like he kind of like, you know, said like a get out of my way thing.
Yeah, from the ground, kind of ha at him, and then like Ogletree on his way up after that movement, kind of, you know, shoved him in the face, man.
Right in the face.
And then I pushed him off.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I think after that, Odell Beckham was trying to do a little kung fu fighting, was like, pew, kicking him from the ground and all that. So after that kick, Odell Beckham goes around the cameraman, it looks like. Kind of nudges the cameraman as he goes after go after each other again. Just put mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together, crazy stuff. Weasel, take it from there.
We also got another one. This one's a little lighter.
Actually, by the way, I don't mean to interrupt you. During that, by the way, Reuben Randall also throwing a punch. He, too, was one of four players disqualified for the occasion. I would expect we'll see some fines from the league office tomorrow.
And another thing. So, in the middle of the first quarter,
yes,
there was a kickoff to the Rams, and it ended up being a pile of players.
A pile of players.
It looked as if a Rams player was pushing the kicker, Josh Brown, on top of the pile. I think he may have overdid it.
Get on that pile, kicker.
Somehow he landed on over the pile of guys. And there was I think it was Rams Cody Davis.
Cody Davis.
He tried to go behind him and pull him off. But Josh Brown just ended up kicking him in the face.
Right in the face.
So a kicker got a 15-yard unnecessary roughness penalty. So the kick was kind of one of those, you know, get off me type things.
Get off me.
So
you know the last guy I seen get called for unnecessary roughness? Automatica Grammatica, baby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So those were two of the things that were questionable for the Rams about, you know, what are they doing?
Pop quiz. Would Martin Grammatica in his prime be an improvement to the current Bucks defense?
Hey, they could use it.
That was awesome. Thank you for that setup once again, Weasel. You're doing good. I love it. Eli Manning, though, managed to avoid turnovers on this game. 25 for 32, 391 yards with three touchdowns. Look, Weasel, against this defense, I'm digging that. I don't know that Eli's had numbers like that in he might have had it in one other game. It certainly beats the hell out of the five interceptions he threw against the 49ers, for example. Sean Hill had a decent game himself, 24 for 32, 290, with two touchdowns and an interception on the ground. Audre Williams, the top rusher for the Giants. Yeah, there you go. Odell Beckham Jr., like I said, and Reuben Randall, before his departure, did have six catches for 132 yards and a touchdown. Kenny Britt had nine. For 103 with his day for the Rams. Chris Gibbons caught a touchdown as well. But, Weasel, something I find interesting. Give the Rams defense credit. The red zone, 2 for 3 were the Rams offense. 3 for 7 were the Giants. I got to give them credit. Yeah, they got to the red zone 7 times, but you kept them out most of it. Bend don't break. I mean, you know, I'll be very curious to see what Jeff Fisher and the Rams do. First of all, you cannot fire Jeff Fisher at this point, I think, if you're the Rams. Do you agree?
He's got a very young team.
I agree.
And they can talk about the Redskins, but the thing is that the Rams got about six starters or something like that, a good number of starters from that trade.
Yeah, from the RG3 trade.
So
it's like I set you up here. Talk about this again. Because exactly. It's a great point. I'm not hating you for hitting it. The captains for that one coin toss where they played each other. It's because, never mind. But you and I, if you're the Rams, Weasel, do you hold on to Sam Bradford?
I would want to know what his contract is right now.
Okay.
Because at the time, he was one of those $40 million guaranteed guys.
I want to say it's his last year.
I think it was, yeah, so.
In the contract, I should say.
It just matters how much he counts against the cap, because otherwise, I mean, he hasn't been very reliable to stay healthy. So
look, okay. Charlie Sheen is a little bit unreliable. This guy has been nowhere to be found. Okay, you want to know one thing? What's the difference between Charlie Sheen and Sam Bradford? Winning. You should have seen that coming, Weasel. I'm a little disappointed. Anyways, speaking of winning, something else the 49ers can't do. Burr!
Still bitter.
Good segue?
Yeah.
What do you mean still? Look, I accounted for bitter during last week's show when I said the 49ers would not win another football game. Okay, I don't think Chris listened to me. Let me... I'm looking ahead a little bit here into the study hall. No, he did not fill out the rest of my games to be the 49ers yet. I told him to take care of that. I mean, you were here.
Oh, jeez.
Anyways, so, yeah, the Chargers win, albeit in overtime, 38-35 over the 49ers on the strength of a fumbled ball by Kaepernick. No, I don't think it was Kaepernick's fault. Matter of fact, I don't think this loss is Kaepernick's fault. His stat line passing, 15 for 24, 114 yards with a touchdown. However, he also ran for... See, this is the challenge now. I have to read my handwriting. No. He ran for seven carries, 151 yards, including a 90-yard touchdown. But if you even take that 90-yard touchdown off, that's 10 a carry on his remaining six carries. So what is very distinctive to me for the 49ers is the amount of running they did between Cap and Frank Gore, 33 carries, 309 yards. That's what they kind of call ridiculous. Frank Gore also marked a touchdown on the day and averaged better than 5 yards a carry. Yeah, so 26 for 158 was Frank Gore. But Phillip Rivers went airborne 54 times he threw, 33 he completed, 356 yards, 4 touchdowns. One could argue that he put out the fire at the Orphanage and saved the day. Unfortunately, he also started the fire, throwing 3 interceptions throughout the day. You know, something the stat line will not show you here in this game, though, Weasel, is the fact that injuries galore for the 49ers. They were a MASH unit before the night was done, and I think they really just ran out of players. And at some point, Antonio Gates just started abusing the defensive secondary with no one left, basically, to stop them. So, yeah, right now the Chargers hold their own destiny if they beat the Chiefs next week. They're getting the playoffs, so you got to give them credit for that. Yeah, we'll talk about Harbaugh and his coaching hopes next week. I'll say this about that. I really don't see him taking the demotion to play in the college ranks. I think that makes sense. Weasel nods.
Fair enough. Improvement.
Yes, fair enough. Good. You know what else is fair enough? The Bills still have a chance to remain playoff competitive as they faced off against the Oakland Raiders. Easy day. Right, Weasel?
Oh, no, Buffalo! After their impressive win against the Packers last week, the Bills, at home, laid an egg.
I want the record to show that we did not coordinate that, but I don't play volleyball enough to do as good a set in volleyball as I did for that entrance right there. That was brilliant. Brilliant!
Word. So they lost to the Raiders 26-24. Bills quarterback Kyle Orton threw for 329 yards, 3 touchdowns, oh, 2 ITs. And he was sacked twice. Now, rookies Raiders quarterback Derek Carr threw for 214 yards and 2 touchdowns, sacked once. Not a bad game by the rookie. And you got running back Latavius Murray rushed for 86 yards. So you got the rookie of the year candidate. You got Bills' Sammy Watkins. You got Robert Woods, tight end Scott Chandler. Each of them had touchdowns.
Yeah, Scott Chandler's the guy you don't hear enough about. I really like what he does.
I think he's old. And the Raiders wide receiver, James Jones, and running back, Jameis Aldwell, each had touchdowns of their own.
You sure it's not Jameis Aldwell?
Sure, that sounds better. So the Bills scored a touchdown with 1:18 remaining to put them down only by 2, but the Bills were unable to recover an onside kick. Kneel, 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 done. So, I ask for Derek Carr. He should at least get some recognition for, as one of the rookies of the year.
Oh, he's gonna get votes, but he shouldn't get the award. I mean, what are the Rams? 2-15 now. 3-15.
I think it's 3. Yeah.
Well, yeah. With this win,
First of all, how about the Bills just being unable to get out of their own way?
They shut down for a good portion Aaron Rodgers, and it's like, yeah, in this game, not so much.
Well, I mean, the offense has to do something. I mean, you know, Orton throwing the picks or whatever. I mean, come on, dude.
Yeah.
I don't know. Anyways, but DC4 should get some consideration, but there's too many explosive receivers as rookies carrying teams that are winning to give it to a 3-12 quarterback. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
You know, granted, dude, I got posed the question. Actually, you posed the question last week. Who would you rather have, knowing what we know, Manziel or Derek Carr? Dude, it's very easy. It's Derek Carr, without question.
Yeah, because I think we'll cover it in possibly the next game.
Oh, snap. Segue. So, well, that next game, we did mention Johnny Manziel. Well, hey, Superman versus Johnny Football. Top picks face off. Browns, Panthers. I don't know why I'm doing all this with my arms.
I don't know. It's radio.
It's radio, not TV, so I can be doing jumping jacks and people don't know.
Yeah.
Actually, you know, truth be told, folks, I'm doing this whole thing standing on my hands. You thought I was going to say I wasn't wearing pants or something. Weasel, I'm wearing pants. Right. Don't look. Stop looking. That's gross. Anyways.
So, two bone fractures in your lower back? No problem.
transverse vertebrae fractures. I got this.
So, quarterback Cam Newton and his Panthers at home defeated the Browns 17-13. Browns rookie quarterback Johnny Manziel got his first start.
Oh, Johnny.
3 of 8 for 32.
Isn't this his second start?
Nah,
he started last week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I think he would want to forget that game.
Oh, so. I like what you did there. Anyways.
Yeah, I think quarterback rating 1. But this game he had was 3 of 8, 32 yards, late in the second quarter. Manziel had to leave the game due to a hamstring injury. And I don't know if you saw like the highlights or part of that game. But
I did.
The one where I think the play flat out was a Manziel run type play.
Yes.
Because he rolled out towards like you know the sideline towards the wide receivers, and three guys were just. The thing is like three players were just surrounding him, and he got hit.
I thought he only got hit by two, but whatever.
Well, the thing is that he lowered his helmet.
Exactly, he lowered his shoulder.
And he got a hamstring injury. So he's got a lot to learn. But the thing was that there were some cheers from the crowd.
Uh-oh.
Because not everybody you know likes the guy.
I still don't get that either.
A lot of guys, they just want him to fail. So, they were applying. Yeah, exactly.
Hmm.
So, they were actually cheering that Manziel got hurt.
Hey, can you hand me some spice? Because that's some weak sauce.
Oh, yeah.
I'm trying to tell you.
What was cool was that Cam Newton said that they were better than that. And that the thing is that, you know, you shouldn't be doing that.
Yeah,
and he's had that happen to him, I believe. Like when he was injured, I think sometimes it's you hear some fans that are unsportsmanlike. So
right, that yeah, and look, that's never okay. I mean, I know we're making jokes and stuff here, but you know, people getting hurt, that sucks.
It does.
I don't care the sport or the situation. You know, I mean, as a 49er fan, I don't cheer for like Russell Wilson to be hurt. No, that's not cool. Nobody wins with that. No.
So, Browns quarterback, woohoo, I get to play again. Brian Hoyer threw for 134 yards.
How do you like me now?
Had a touchdown, but also an INT.
No!
So, just 12 days ago, Newton was in that serious car accident. The two bone fractures in his lower back. So, no one knew if he was going to play. Well, he did, and he threw for 201 yards, one touchdown, one INT, and you got helping him out, Jonathan Stewart, 122 yards, and Jordan Cameron's back. A little late in the season, but whatever.
a little late in the season, but
the Browns tight end.
Yeah.
He had an 81-yard touchdown reception.
He made his presence known. Don't forget about me.
So last thing, due to this win, the winner of the Panthers versus Falcons game will win the division. And I don't think they would apply for a wild card.
Well, way to completely blow up our next game that we're going to talk about with the Falcons and the Saints.
I call it like a segue, but, you know.
It went from segue to spoiler, baby. But, yes, the Panthers, we know, are going to be one side of that battle. But we knew coming out of the Falcons and the Saints, the other opponent for the NFC South, a.k.a. the Kardashian sisters of the NFL, would be determined. Some of you picked the Saints. Kyle's creeping up. He picked the Falcons. The Falcons prevail over the New Orleans Saints. And I'm going to be listening to excuses from my in-laws for a while now. 30-14 in a dominant victory. Matt Ryan was 30-40, 322 yards with a touchdown. Drew Brees had a fumble and two interceptions on his day, going 30-47. That's throwing seven more passes and completing just as many. 313 yards with a touchdown as well. So one thing we could say for the NFC South, Weasel, we are guaranteed to have a losing team in the playoffs now. It is official. I know I called it last week in my matchup mania, and it came true. Damn it all. Anyways, Julio Jones had a big game in his return. Seven catches for 107 yards. Marquise Colston led amongst receivers. Six catches, 80 yards. Jimmy Graham had six catches for 53 yards and a touchdown. Almost had a second touchdown as he caught the ball very close to the plane. But according to officials and replays, allegedly he didn't catch it. And, yeah, that it made people very mad.
I think what it came down to was that the call, I believe, was a fumble.
Yes.
On the field.
Okay.
So this whole thing with you got to have undisputable evidence that says he went past the goal line.
Well, let's set it up a little bit better. So Jimmy Graham's going into the end zone. His body is motioning him kind of near the end zone, and he loses the ball at some point. Now, if he breaks the plane before the ball is fumbled, what happens, Weasel?
If he breaks the plane, touchdown.
Bingo. The play is over right there. We don't care. It was determined that he never broke the plane, ergo fumble, or something like that.
It's, yeah. The thing was, devastating play. It was like, you know, the game's like turned around with that type of thing.
Just a little bit.
But, but yeah, so at least the Saints, maybe they were playing for the playoffs. Ooh, yeah, they're not in it though.
Yeah, that's a problem.
But that play, Saints fans will be clamoring, like, upset for a long time about that play.
Oh, golly, you mean kind of like when Drew Brees gets hit in the shoulder and they call it an illegal hit and it affects the outcome of seven different teams' playoff chances? No, I have no idea what you're talking about. There are times where I don't think you say enough, Weasel, and there are times where I find your deafening in its profoundness. That is one. Thank you, Weasel.
Word.
Anyways, the telling stat for me in this one, the Falcons' defense stepping up here more. It's not that I think their defense is great. It was just better than the Saints that day. Five sacks by the Atlanta Falcons defense. 0-0 for the Saints defense. Continuing to disappoint just as I expected they would. That's why I picked them. And I know Chris isn't listening, but I'm going to say it anyway, Weasel. I'm creeping up. Anyways, Eagles, Redskins taking over to the NFC East. Hey, how about no spoilers?
Alrighty then.
Go.
The Redskins at home defeated the Eagles 27-24. So Redskins quarterback, no, it's not Colt McCoy. Oh, it's RG3, Robert Griffin III.
What?
He's back. Well, he reclaimed the starting job due to Colt McCoy's neck injury. RG3 was 16-23, 220 yards, interception, sacked twice. Mark Sanchez, 37-50, 374 yards, two touchdowns, INT, sacked three times. You got LeSean McCoy.
Yeah, the wrong McCoy. I do this all the time. Shady. Come on, son.
He had 88 yards and a touchdown while running back Alfred Morris of the Redskins, 83 and a touchdown. So the top two wide receivers for each team were DeSean Jackson against his prior team, four catches, 126 yards, and he got Eagles tight end Zach Ertz, 15 receptions, seriously, 115 yards.
When it came to his performance from the perspective of the Skins, Ertz hurts.
So,
no, too much?
Yeah. Okay. With the score tied at 24 all, Sanchez threw an interception Jets fans are like, no.
And Jets fans are like, ha.
So he threw that interception with 1:36 remaining in the game, giving the ball to the Redskins at their own 42. A 23-yard completion with a roughing the passer flag brought them all the way to the 20.
Now, keep in mind, they suffered from 3 roughing the passer plays, but we'll get into that a little bit later.
And so they got to the 20. Alfred Morris took some took the Redskins to the 8-yard line. 5 seconds remaining in the game. Redskins kicker Kai Forbath. He made the 26-yard field goal to win the game. Now, the thing about the penalties, though, I think you'll get a little bit more in-depth with it. But the penalties were a little bit lopsided. Eagles had 13 for 102, and the Redskins had 3 for 15.
3 of those penalties, by the way, were roughing the passer penalties, which is 15 yards a clip right there, right? So there's 45 of them. 3 were called in the game. Only one of them, in my opinion, completely even remotely worthwhile. They were doing – I don't know if they're worried that RG3 will break again or something, but there was a drive. There was one drive where the Skins were awarded 2 sets of penalties due to an alleged illegal hit on the Eagles' defense, and that definitely set up one of the scores right there. So you have the difference in the game, in my opinion, in some of this garbage calling, not to mention 3 missed field goals on the day by the Eagles. You can't do that, Captain. You don't have the power. So the Eagles put themselves in a precarious position. Well, the Cowboys, they're going to have to prove themselves against the Colts. Will they? Tell us what happened, Weasel.
The Cowboys at home dominated on both sides of the football as they crushed the Colts 42-7.
Oh, but most importantly, Weasel, not just the Colts, but the playoff dreams of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah.
What do Clay Aiken and the Eagles have in common? They're both out. Thank you.
Wow.
So, Colts quarterback Andrew Luck, MVP candidate. Woot! 15 of 22. 109 yards. 2 INTs. Yeah.
I think I'm going to change my MVP vote to T.Y. Hilton, who was missing in this game.
Exactly. So the score was 35-0 in the third quarter, and the Colts brought in Matt Hasselbeck. 126
Matt
yards.
Hasselbeck.
And threw the final touchdown of the game in garbage time. And then you have for the Colts, Hakeem Nicks had 72 yards receiving, and running back Zerlon Tipton. Gosh, that's awesome. That's an awesome name. I don't care who you are.
If you ever find yourself in trouble on the streets, just give the call and he will come. Zerlon Tipton to the rescue.
It's great. So he had the Colts lone touchdown. You got Tony Romo, 18 of 20. 218 yards and 4 touchdowns.
By the way, that's an A for those who are keeping track of Tony Romo's percentage.
Now, there was a Brandon Whedon sighting as he was 1 for 1 for 43 yards and a touchdown.
Now let's put that in perspective. Tony Romo's beating the crap out of this defense, and the defense is just thoroughly walloped. So Romo goes over and says, "Hey, Brandon, kick them once while they're down."
Yep. So the others that had touchdowns besides tight end Jason Witten, who had 90 yards, were Dez Bryant, Cole Beasley, and Terrence Williams, who had 2. So you think they can get the number one seed?
Number one seed overall. See, this is what's tough here, and I'm going to go to my I don't have the playoff picture open. That stinks. Here's what I can say. The main competition for the number one seed right now, okay, the Cowboys are in the discussion, yeah, but then who else is it? It's the Packers
and
the Lions, which just feels odd to say.
And then both of them play each other, too.
In week 17, that's correct. Thank you, Weasel. So, now, in what's probably going to be referred to as the Relax Bowl.
Maybe has to come back.
I mean, you know, we'll talk more about that later on. But I'll say this. The Cowboys are 11-4. They're tied with the Lions and the Packers with the same record. I get all that. That's cute. The conference record is going to be their problem. They need the Packers to lose. Well, actually, if the Packers lose Actually, it's not possible for the Cowboys based on what I'm looking at. Because if the Packers lose, that puts the Lions at 12-4 with a 10-2 conference record. The Cowboys already have 4 losses in the conference, so that's right out. If the Packers win, same thing. They're going to have 9 conference wins to the Cowboys, 8, assuming that they finish the job next week. So the Cowboys are actually mathematically unable to compete for that seed due to that. However, the Cardinals and Seahawks still have a shot going after that number one seed. That's so trippy.
Right now, it's in the NFC, it was 5 teams with an 11-4 record.
Yeah. Yeah. 5 teams with an 11-4 record, and the 6th one won't even have 8. Yeah, that's fair. By the way, how pissed are Eagles fans right now? I'm just throwing that out there, folks. Wow, that is... Wow. I can't even make jokes about that, because that is straight awful. I'm not even talking about, you know... The Eagles are the losers here.
Yep.
So there you go. I mean, they had their shot, but yeah, that. I don't know. With that, you know what, Weasel? We're gonna take a break. And I think what we're gonna do is give a little bit of a spoiler about some news on the Chiefs in the second half of the show here moving forward. This is the NGSC Sports.
Student of the Game presents Real Men of Awesome.
Real Men of Awesome.
Today we salute you, Mr. King of the Checkdown.
Mr. King of the Checkdown.
2 yards to the tailback, 5 yards to the fullback, and when you're feeling frisky, 10 yards to the tight end.
That's not Vernon Davis.
While playing for the Kool-Aid Man, your checkdown choices championed the Chiefs for weeks of undefeated greatness.
People think in playoffs.
Some players prefer slinging shots for scores in single throws, but not you. Your minimalist mantra of movement by game management helps you matriculate the ball down the field.
Just like Kate Stram did.
So here's to you, O ruler of the running back pass. You're turning the checkdown into touchdowns.
Mr. King of the Checkdown.
Student of the Game, National Gridiron Network.
And we are back here on the Student of the Game, NGSC Sports. By the way, check out NGSCSports.com. I can't promise I'm going to put up the Matchup Mania, my weekly edition, on an early night on Tuesday night here. Going to try to get it in so you can check it out on Christmas Eve when you're stuck at work and waiting for that clock to pass by. Should be awesome stuff. I will be letting you know which games you really need to concentrate on and watch for the outcome of the playoffs.
Playoffs.
Playoffs. Playoffs.
Just want to win a game.
Playoffs. You know who else is thinking that? The Eagles.
Yeah.
Okay. After that intelligent interlude. See, I do things like and then I use words like interlude. I love my versatility. Anyways, you want to know what else is versatile? You never know what to expect from a Tampa Bay Buccaneers football game. For a while there, they appeared to be competing with the Green Bay Packers. Yeah, that was all a joke. 20-3 was the score, and Aaron Rodgers in the second half tells his fans and his team to relax. R-E-L-A-X. Relax. I mean, when I do that, it sounds like a Sesame Street, doesn't it?
Kind of.
I don't know. While Aaron Rodgers did lose a fumble on the day, he still went 31 for 40, 318 yards and a touchdown. Pretty good day overall. You know what's not a good day, Weasel? 12 for 26 with 147 yards and an interception. That's straight garbage. Thank you, Josh McCown. Fun fact, Josh McCown, I think, did better against the Packers as a Bear than he did in this game. Anyways. Eddie Lacy, though, carried the load. 17 carries, 99 yards, and a touchdown. Doug Martin on the ground did very little for the Bucs. 10 carries, 17 yards. A mere fraction of the performance we saw in his rookie year last year. The key to this game, 7 sacks by the Green Bay Packer defense. 1 by the Bucs. Randall Cobb went absolutely nuts. 11 for 131 in the air.
and joining Nelson at 9 catches, 113 yards of his own with a touchdown. Now, Weasel, going 1-for-4 in the red zone, that's bad.
It's pretty bad.
You want to know what's worse? Not even making it there. That's what the Bucks did.
Yeah.
Okay. Again, radio, not TV, but like literally when I said 0-for-0 in the red zone, Weasel made this face like I just fed him some poison scallops or something.
It's bad.
Well, not poison, but rotten scallops. It was, you know, I'm kind of getting that seafood kind of bad smell, curl of your nose kind of thing in there.
Mm-hmm.
You totally had that, dude. You were just very disgusted by 0 in the red zone.
That's pretty bad.
But hey, hope is coming. They're en route to be the first pick of the NFL draft in 2015.
So you got the Titans. You still got, I think the Raiders are one of them.
Well, the Raiders have 3 wins now. So I think there's only 2 2-win teams in the Bucs and the Titans. And the Titans are currently at the number 2 spot due to a better strength of schedule.
Hmm.
In other words, you had to play the Texans and Colts twice. The Bucks are the Khloe Kardashian of the Kardashian sister group that is the NFC South. Catch my meaning?
Word.
Pop culture reference, bitches. What? Anyways, yeah, speaking of pop culture, ain't nothing popular about the Chicago Bears right now as they host the Lions. Weasel.
So the Lions on the road defeated the Jay Cutlerless Bears 20-14.
The Bears were in a bit of a pickle. They had to start Jimmy Clausen.
Mm-hmm.
Boom! No, that was creative. Come
it
on.
Was creative. Okay. It was.
It just sucked.
So Lions quarterback Matthew Stafford threw for 243 yards, two INTs, sacked 4 times. In for Cutler was Jimmy Clausen, former Notre Dame graduate, who played a respectable game. You know, 181 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked twice. And it was good timings for the Lions to get their running game back.
Yes.
They got running back Joki Bell. He had 74 yards, and Reggie Bush had 54 yards.
Can we talk about
Lions... they did have each had touchdowns.
Yeah, they did. Excuse me. Can we talk about how awesome it is if you're a Lions fan that they're getting Reggie Bush back just before this Week 17 game?
Yep, that's good for him.
Huge. I'm talking Sumu Wrestler huge. I'm talking Jabba the Hutt huge. Okay? I'm talking Galactus Eater of Worlds huge. Okay, well, maybe not that much. There's a nerd shout out for all my comic book fans out there.
So
Silver Surfer, baby. What?
So you got Lions wide receiver Calvin Johnson, Megatron.
Hey, more comic book nerd shout outs.
103 yards receiving. You got Bears Alshon Jeffrey, 72 yards and a touchdown. Forte had a touchdown off of 40 yards. So, there's 2 things to talk about here afterwards, but there was a dirty play by the Lions.
Extracurricular activity.
Exactly. So, the dirty play by the Lions, and it wasn't by Ndamukong Suh.
Oh, burn.
It was someone else, yeah. Now, after a play early in the third quarter, Lions center Dominic Raiola appeared to be stepping over the leg of Bears defensive tackle
Ergo Ferguson and Dominic Raiola. I love these names,
yeah.
First of all.
So, Raiola, whatever.
You know, you got it, Raiola. Think like you're saying Ray Liotta's name without the Liotta, Raiola.
Gotcha. So, it appeared that he was stepping over, but then his left foot stomped on the ankle of Bears defensive tackle, Ergo Ferguson.
I did not see this play.
Yeah. So, Raiola apologized later and saying... It's not intentional.
Okay, wait a minute. Everybody, please note, Weasel made this face where he rolled his eyes something stupid before reading this. Continue.
So, it's one thing, you know, to be like in your seats at the game, you know, far away from the action, but they had a close-up view. It was like right there, everything.
And the statement is?
And it looked very intentional. And so, Raiola, well, that... The thing is, you know, stupid thing to do, right?
Yeah.
The center, he started the last 99 consecutive games, I think all of which I think a lot of them were with Stafford.
99 games about to get suspended for one.
And so he picks a weird time for it because pretty much a center and the quarterback should have, you know, be in sync and everything. So you're going to have one game for the division. And you're not going to have your center.
Okay, let me be clear about something, okay? being a guy who's dressed up in Marlins gear going to the World Series where the Cardinals and, you know, the Yankees or something are playing, that's weird. This is just straight stupid, okay?
Yeah. This is it's another one of those. You win, you get the division. It's like, but he was suspended one game. That was called today. So, and there's more. So with about 2:26 remaining in the game, he had Clausen scrambled, and he did a quick slide. But Lions defensive end Ezekiel, Ziggy, Ansah delivered a brutal helmet-to-helmet hit. He played the remainder of the game, where he threw three straight incompletions and an interception on a 4th-and-10. Last play of the game, you know, so technically, really, he didn't really have that INT. But Clausen ended up having delayed symptoms of a concussion. I think those... you could have him like any time.
Right.
And in this instance, he played four extra plays. And I don't think he got hit in those. But that's about it. He pretty much played with a concussion. And he cannot play next week.
Right. So. He's out. And Cutler's going to start, much to the chagrin of many Bears fans out there, apparently.
It was just an ugly hit. I mean.
Well, and let's get into that. So, I mean, we both saw this hit. I'll ask the question point blank. Obviously, Royola's stomping of, what's his name?
Ergo Ferguson.
Ergo Ferguson was intentional in your mind.
Oh, Ego, I think it is. Ego Ferguson. So, something like that.
Okay.
I think it's Ego, yeah.
At any rate, was the hit on Clausen by the Lions defender intentional?
I think it was intentional because you're taught how to tackle the proper way. You're taught, I think we were talking about it before, you're taught to, hey, keep your head up.
See what you hit.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the catchphrase.
And the thing was that his when he was diving, his head was looking directly down. And his helmet went right into him. And I think Clausen was not very happy about it.
He wasn't just unhappy about it. Helmetless at this point, he's getting in the face of the defender. Now, I like when quarterbacks stand up for themselves and do things like that. That's fine. I don't think it's smart to do that with a D lineman. That's just a bad plan. I mean, it's not as bad as, say, you know, I'm going to go with Doug Flutie getting the face of Ndamukong Suh. It's not that bad. But Clausen ain't exactly a big gay. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Now, granted, there were some O-linemen in the area, but you already took a huge blow to the head. And now you're going to, maybe it was the blow of the head that made him think this was a good idea. I don't know. But, you know, you think the hit's intentional. And in light of delayed symptoms for a concussion, let me ask you, Weasel, what do you think the dollar figure for the suspension should be?
I'd say about, because it was a clear helmet, clearly. And the guy even had a sliding action. During that,
Clausen was giving himself up. Yes.
So I would say like maybe like a $25,000.
You think it should be 25 G's? I think that's where you should start.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be shocked to see the NFL hit him harder than that. Your pardon expression, with a fine.
Because if you think about it, like this could have been a, you know, star quarterback. It could have been like, you know, an Aaron Rodgers, and so your defender's like, hey, okay, so I can do a helmet-to-helmet hit. I take out their quarterback.
Right.
And I only have to pay $25,000.
And that's even the most graphic way of looking at it. Let's look at a couple other things. First of all, Jimmy Clausen is going to be a career backup. You're trying to end that career, okay? Then on top of that, you know, I want Jimmy Clausen to at least remember that he played for Notre Dame one day, okay? And this concept of the delayed symptoms from the concussion should be scaring the hell out of people in the NFL commissioner's office, right? Because this protocol for testing players for concussions is supposed... I'll say it's what's been the saving grace, at least PR-wise, for dealing with this whole concussion thing that the player that the league has been dealing with, right? I mean, lately they've been more worried about how they're punishing players, but let's not lose sight of the fact that keeping players protected is a huge deal. I mean... What was it? Two off seasons ago, we focused an awful lot talking about chronic traumatic encephalopathy, CTE.
Yes.
Which, you know, is multiple brain hits. First of all, at least they're doing the right thing
and keeping Clausen off the field. But having played those four extra downs, what if he got clocked again? Hell, even by the same bozo. That's when you start doing real damage, right?
Yeah, because and the thing is, of course, is when you have like a second one, when the first one was recent,
right?
It can really mess you up.
Exactly, it's an increased vulnerability to the brain, simply put.
So, and I think the only way to do it would be brain scans or something like that, because before it was only recognized in that you could look at it post mortem. The player had it, you know, dying, they donate their brain. And the thing is, now I think there's like these radioactive protein or something like that. It's where you can see before, like the player, the living player, you could see where the proteins collect. And those are usually where, you know, they have a...
Where you see them amass is usually where the traumatized area is going.
Yeah, where it's... Yeah, exactly. So it's just, yeah, the thing about the... Think about a concussion and a player like that. Jimmy Clausen went out, you know, after, you know, he was done. But are you going to tell a guy like, you know, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady to stay out of the game if they if it's late and stuff? And
I mean, that's tough, because what it sounds like is this procedure you're talking about, it isn't something where they can take him back in the locker room and just knock it out right quick.
I'm pretty sure it's questions. Yeah. Most of it is just...
No. I mean, I know. Okay, I know the current protocol is questions, some eye tests, maybe some things like that to see their focus and all that. I'm not even touching that. Like, you're mentioning that there's now a procedure where they can see a trauma start the encephalopic trauma. I actually pulled that off. Yes, forming. And somebody who's alive, which is a big deal, right?
Yep.
So, but it's not like they can just let's put one of those in the locker room.
It's very recent in research, though. That's
yeah, exactly.
They can't just do a scan and
go back to the locker room and check you out real quick, there, son.
No, so, but it's a scary thing.
Yeah. So I mean, somebody at the NFL office should be leaving stains in their pants, peeing themselves as you know they become worried about this. I'm just saying. Somebody else who should be very worried. The Vikings and the Finns faced off. I don't think both teams should be happy with this outcome, but somebody won the game. Weasel, what do you got?
In a high-scoring game, the Dolphins at home defeated the Vikings 37-35. So Vikings rookie quarterback Teddy Bridgewater, 19 of 26, 259 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT, sacked 4 times. Then you got Tannehill of the Dolphins, 35 of 47, 396, 4 touchdowns. 1 INT sacked twice. So Vikings running back he got suspended for the year. At least we have Matt Asiata.
Too soon? Oh, sprinkle some Asiata on it. That'll make it okay for your too soon joke.
Boom. So he rushed for 58 yards and 2 touchdowns. And Dolphins running back Lamar Miller, 92, with a touchdown. It sounded like Bridgewater and Greg Jennings. I think he's one of the... Most of his targets are to Greg Jennings, I've seen. He has 56 receiving yards and a touchdown. And tight end Charles Clay had 114 yards.
Charles Clay.
Charles, no.
Was he messing up your helmet? Anyways.
So Mike Wallace had 58 and 2 touchdowns. So there was a 3-yard Dolphins passing play touchdown to tie the score at 35-0. And a 3-and-out, the Vikings had a punt at their own 11. It was, I think, a rolling kind of snap off the ground.
Yeah.
And the guy took a little bit long to kick it.
Yeah.
But Dolphins player just comes out of nowhere and hits it so hard.
Is one thing I personally would have gone, pew! But that's just me.
Fair enough. So he just, you know, got some ups and blocked it so hard that it bounced back into the end zone for a safety. And so I'm like, oh, they'll get the ball back. Oh, it's a safety. So you got to kick it. And then there was a... they recovered it.
Yeah, they tried to. They did their free kick onside. Dolphins recover.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty much the damn ball game.
It's here's some interesting facts. With 6:39 left in the game, both teams at the end of the game after that combined for 30 points.
Oh, my God.
And an impressive stat is that the Dolphins were 5 of 5 in the red zone.
Bing!
While the Vikings were, 3 of 5. So
I think that might have affected the outcome.
Yep. So that's it. That's it. And it's a good win for them. So I think they're actually Mike Wallace, I think, is getting instilled into the offense a lot better. Mm-hmm. And I think Daniel still needs to work on his long balls. But
okay, well, on that front, the big news in Miami is that Joe Philbin is still the coach. Are you a fan of this concept?
How many years has it been for them? 2, 3?
This will be his third year. And keep in mind, as a rookie, he dealt with the whole Bullygate thing with Incognito and Jonathan Martin.
They were still competing at the end of the year and stuff. And but I'd say, you know, another year. And
okay.
Then you got to, if he doesn't make the playoffs, then he may have to go. So
so you're saying one more year, which in earnest, you're doing better than a lot of Dolphin fans out there are. First of all, they're all screaming for Jim Harbaugh. Guys, figure it out. He didn't want to go to Miami the first time. He's not going to do it again. A, B, stop it. What are you going to do? Get Rex Ryan? I don't think so, Tim. Okay? Let me tell you what the deal is. Weasel, name me one place on that team where the Dolphins are elite. Go.
Maybe someone on the defensive side of ball. So
okay, maybe someone on the defensive side. I said where, you say someone. Okay, there's your first problem. No one elite is on this football team, or I should say no one elite. No unit on this football team is elite. Tannehill is good. He's not great. That offensive line has been a mess. They've done well despite, but injuries continue to plague. That receiver core, meh, okay? The running backs, look, you've already had your trauma with Lamar Miller in fantasy. I'm not going to make you relive that. The defense, Cameron Wake is amazing. The rest of the defensive line, yeah, not so much.
Cameron Wake was what I was thinking.
Very good, okay.
And I would possibly add Mike Wallace into that. So.
Well, okay, but his numbers certainly haven't been elite. Next question. Danelle Ellerby has not panned they would have liked after acquiring him from Baltimore post-2012. Okay, their secondary is their best group headed up by Brent Grimes, but I still don't think they're elite. They're just really good.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got no unit elite on your team. Your O-line is in a constant state of disarray, whether it be due to politics or injury, you know, depending on the year. And you play Tom Brady twice a year. Kiss my butt, okay? The fact that this guy could get this team to a winning record this year is an overachievement. I'm not going to call it amazing. I'm not going to say he should get coach of the year. But he's damn well doing his job. Who are you going to replace him with? Mark Trestman? Rex Ryan? Jim Harbaugh's not going to go there. And even if he was, I don't know that this team's a good fit. They're not built to run the football. They're not built to be coached by a Harbaugh. It's just not the case, right?
Yep.
And so if you bring in a Harbaugh, you better be willing to wait out another 2 or 3 years, okay? I mean, offhand, I'm not thinking of another guy who would come here to coach that makes sense immediately. I mean, you know, good friend of ours, the secret agent of sports, Chris Rizzo, tried to sell me Mike Holmgren as a concept. Shut up. Okay, he's done. He ain't trying to coach no more. Rizzo seems to think he is. Whatever. I still don't think he's the right fit. Anyways. No, Philbin's the guy. All right? That's just where I'm at. And besides, if you do bad next year after you actually get some players and Philbin does bad, well, then Philbin might get fired. Otherwise, if you're this GM, it's your butt in a sling. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying. Anyways, speaking of the New England Patriots, they faced off against the Jets and barely qualified by with a win in quite humiliating fashion. Basically, on the strength of Geno Smith leading a few too many corners once again, the Patriots prevail in a close match 17-16. The key to this one, in my opinion, the ground performance by the Patriots. Sure, Tom Brady only had 182 yards on 23 completions with an interception. But on the ground, 24 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. So, too, did the Jets have 32 carries for 116. Still isn't bad, but the red zone. Oh, the red zone. 2 for 4 were the Pats. 0 for 3 were the Jets. Weasel, I've said it last week. I'm going to say it again this week. The Patriots' success has not as much to do with Gronk and Brady, though we all know how I feel about Gronk. He had a touchdown in this game. But that defense, look, the best corner duo
perhaps in the history of the team, certainly within the past 20 years. 20. Yes. And Vince Wilfork is still thrashing cats in the middle. Okay, stop telling me about Rob Ninkovich. When I have the world's fastest immovable object to keep blockers from coming to stop me, I'm going to look like a hero. Okay? Stop telling me about Rob Ninkovich. I don't want to hear it. Vince Wilfork, world's fastest immovable object. Know it. Love it. Be it. It's the truth. By the way, Weasel, if you cross Vince Wilfork's, like, if you could do a genetic experiment where you take Vince Wilfork's genes and Gronk's genes and, like, clone a human being, I'm pretty sure I know what you would get.
What do you think you'll get?
JJ Watt! Boom!
Okay.
Weasel's like, where the hell are you going with this? I don't blame you. That was kind of random.
Okay.
And I like the Beavis and Butthead shout out. That was like, okay. Yeah! JJ Watt! Fire! Anyways, wow. Speaking of teams that aren't on fire, though their uniforms are red like fire, the Chiefs were hosted by the Steelers. Weasel, tell us what it is.
After a kind of a slow start to the season, the Steelers look to be a contender, as at home they clinched a playoff spot with a victory over the Chiefs 20-12.
Now, Weasel, before you go any further, you know what the question you have to answer is.
Yeah, I'll get there.
Okay.
So you got Chiefs kicker Cairo Santos. He did his job. He was 4-4 on field goals.
He did his job.
Hey. When you got a different game and the guy's 1-for-3 and you lose by 2 or something like that.
Actually, yeah. We'll get to that later. He's a slacker compared to other kickers this week, yeah. But I digress.
So 4-4 on field goals. And the Chiefs offense, of course, then they didn't score a touchdown. So there are no touchdowns. The wide receiver streak is still going.
15 games, 16 weeks.
It's crazy. I mean,
it's been 4 months plus since a wide receiver in Kansas City has recorded a touchdown in a football game.
It's just baffling.
January. January was the last time a wide receiver caught a pass for a touchdown for a Kansas City Chiefs team in a game that wasn't preseason.
Yep.
If your mind's going to be blown, please try to keep some of it off the carpet. Thanks.
So, talk about then Alex Smith for the Chiefs. 311 yards. He was sacked 6 times, though. Big Ben Roethlisberger, 220 yards and a touchdown. Steelers running back Le'Veon Bell.
When you want to run the football, Le'Veon.
He had 63 yards rushing with a touchdown. Antonio Brown had 72 with a touchdown of his own. So the stats for each team were kind of close. But for the red zone, the Chiefs were 0-for-4. That's where they got the 40 field goals, and that means...
That's pretty bad.
Those are all under 35 or 40-yard kicks. So the Steelers were 2-for-4.
Say, Weasel, the difference between 7-3 is 4, right?
Right.
And 4 times 4 is 16, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that 16 points the Chiefs left on the board?
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah.
I'm saying.
So, Steelers are back, so...
Uh-oh. Wait. You just... See, like, I'm going to go back and record that. And, like, if they win next week, I'll just be like, Steelers are back. Boop, Steelers are back. That's going to be your text alert on your phone. Steelers are back.
Still in the playoffs?
Yeah, they are. They are. I guess that's why it's nice to cheer for two teams, huh?
Whoops.
Anyways, speaking of... teams to cheer for. We have an outcome where the AFC North was successful. The Steelers keeping in the fight for the AFC West North. Another AFC West North, really?
Just combine them.
The AFC North, thank you. That was still going. The Steelers still in the fight to win that division. Another team in contention, the Baltimore Ravens, facing off against the Texans. Look, I didn't even bother writing down Case Keenum's stats because the Texans won 25-13, but it wasn't Case Keenum that did it. And no, I know what you're thinking. I'm hot for J.J. Watt. Don't get me wrong. All right. He got a sack in the game, but that was not the difference in this game, Weasel. You want to tell me about Kiro Sanchez and his 4 field goals? I'll see your Kiro Sanchez and raise you a Randy Bullock. 6 field goals,
on the day for the Houston Texans kicker. 25-13, the outcome. Joe the Foul Flacco threw a lot of ducks in this game. Sure, he had 195 yards and 2 touchdowns on 50 attempts with 21 completions. Yeah, he threw 50, had less than 50. Figure that out. 3 interceptions on the day by Joe the Foul Flacco. Justin Forsett, basically useless against his former team. 10 carries for 19 yards. Arian Foster, look, the Arian Nation alive and well. 25 carries, 96 yards. Yeah. CJ Fedorowicz had a two catch day for 12 yards and a touchdown. The news here, Arian Foster also good for a throwing touchdown on what was a very interesting play, actually. The one compelling stat that I find very disappointing, other than 3 interceptions, if you're the Texans, well, the 3 interceptions are for Flacco, so I guess you like that. But the Texans, 1 for 7 in the red zone. Didn't matter. The Ravens only got there once. Why? J.J. Watt.
What?
And actually, you know, that entire defensive front is awesome, but, you know, I'm hot for Watt. Anyways. So, the last game on the docket, the Seattle Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. Now, look, to be clear, this game was close for quite a while, going into 3 quarters, battle for battle. But let me tell you just one stat. I'm not going to name names. The quarterback had 18 for 44. Yeah, you're going to lose.
It's under 50%.
That's under 50% doesn't even begin to start. Okay, like if under, now I'm laughing. No, Weasel, it's much worse than under 50%. Like, yeah, it. You just kind of derailed me with that. Anyways, Ryan Lindley's 18 for 44 performance, certainly not enough to compete with the Seattle Seahawks. 35-6 on the night. Russell Wilson went 20 for 31, 339 yards with 2 touchdowns. 80-yard touchdown to Luke Wilson, and then another touchdown. Look, let's put it this way. Larry Foote, very talented NFL football player in his career, had a great career with the Steelers, has made a bit of a difference with the Cardinals, but every time Larry Foote was in coverage, Luke Wilson had a catch, and a big one at that. 3 catches. Keep in mind, from a tight end who I would argue in Scottish terms is friggin' huge as a human being, okay? 3 catches, 139 yards, Weasel. Here's some math for you. It's just over 40 yards of completion.
It's pretty good.
I would venture to say that's pretty good.
Yeah. Yes.
Well played, Weasel. Doug Baldwin had 7 catches for 113 of his own. The red zone, who cares? It was 2 for 2 for the red zone. We're the Seahawks. 0 for 2 were the Cardinals. On the ground, hey, guess what? Being all about that action, 10 carries for 113 yards, 2 touchdowns was Marshawn Lynch. And Russell Wilson had 6 carries for 66 yards and a touchdown as well. The Cardinals now out of the driver's seat for the NFC West. In order to win the NFC West, the Cardinals must have the Seahawks lose to the Rams next week and also beat the 49ers. Of course, we know how I feel about beating the 49ers right now. So, playoff picture, very simple. In the NFC, there's only one thing we don't know. We know the teams that are going to make it, except for one. There's 2 teams fighting for one more spot. The Panthers and the Falcons, the Kardashian sisters known as the NFC South.
For the current top 6.
Yes, we do.
That if the playoffs were today, these are the teams that are going to play.
Bring it.
You got 1 Seattle, 2 Lions, 3 Cowboys, 4 Panthers, 5 Packers, and then you got 6 Arizona Cardinals. The records for all of those teams, every single one is 11-4, and then you got the ugly duckling. You got the Panthers and with a 4 slot, which means the home playoff game, 6-8-1. So yeah, it's kind of. Who doesn't belong in this? Yeah.
One of these things is not like the other. So, of course, some of the outcomes may differ depending on the outcome of the Week 17 game for the Packers and Lions. That will determine our 5th and 2nd seed. I'm not sure the head-to-head
and how that works out with the Lions and the Seahawks. I'm pretty certain the Seahawks won that one. So the only way the Seahawks fall out of the first spot is if they lose to the Rams.
Yeah, that's going to happen. I've seen worse, though.
Actually, yeah, you have. And matter of fact, in this very season where the Rams beat the Seahawks. Now, granted.
Oh, it was them. Convenient.
The difference is they're in Seattle this time. So,
but yeah, the thing about the Cardinals is that it's, you know, it was so looking so good on both sides of the football for team. And
one thing real quick, in the offseason, it wasn't looking so good. And then they just kept winning.
Mm-hmm.
How's the song? All I do is win, 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 no matter what. Anyway,
right? DJ Khaled, yeah.
And throw my hands up. Anyways, so, yeah. Okay, I forgot where you were going with that. But but at any rate, we are deciding a lot of who the division winners are going to be. But I think you're locked up with the NFC East belongs to the Cowboys. That is what it is. They cannot do any better than the second seed. Matter of fact, I don't think they could do any better than the third seed due to conference record. And, of course, the fourth seed being the South. Oh, the South. The dirty, dirty South. Actually, Weasel, pop quiz. You're the Lions. Do you tank against the Packers so you get the easier game playing against the South representative?
I wouldn't say tank, but, you know.
Throwing it out there.
I'd say no, because the thing in the playoffs, everything changes. So, and you want to have that the high seed so that you can, you know, maybe keep some or grab a playoff game at home.
Well,
so.
Here's the thing. I believe in is if you have an opportunity to keep somebody out of the way, or to hurt somebody on the way into the playoffs, you do it. And that would be the Lions' motivation to win against the Packers. Now you talk about the easier road. Hey. I'm telling you the easier road is gone. But that being said, that 7-9 team in Seattle that won the playoff game a few years back, what was the reason why they beat the Saints? Injuries on the defensive front. Marshawn Lynch got hungry and ate them like a bag of Skittles. That's what happened. So, yeah, that'll do it for the week's coverage. Weasel, you know what time it is. It is time for the study hall. Here we go. We got the music right. You ready to get into this?
Let's go.
Weasel Wears!
Yeah, boy!
Okay, that's what I was hoping for. Anyways, Chris will not be in, but we do have his picks. Leading off Thursday night's game, right off the bat, here we are deciding the NFC South. Cardinals and Panthers. Chris has the Panthers. I don't agree. I have the Falcons. Weasel!
I'll take the Falcons.
He'll take the Falcons along with me. By the way, you are currently 10 games back of Chris.
Hang in there, though.
No, you're not. You're 7 games back behind me.
How many? What's my win total, though?
Your win total is currently 143 and 93.
Huh. Okay.
So even though you're quote unquote the worst. You still pick 56%, so.
I'll take it.
That's what she said. Anyways, the Cleveland Browns are hosted by the Baltimore Ravens. This has playoff potential on it. The Ravens need help, but they need to win the game to get it. Chris picks the Ravens. I mean, I don't care if they're starting Hoyer or Menziel. I, too, have the Ravens. Weasel.
I'll take the Ravens.
Bold choice, sir. Bold choice. By the way, you know all those risky games you picked? And you did get a few doing that. For example, picking the Texans. Yeah, you balanced out, basically.
Yeah, it happens like that.
Yeah. You know what else happens like that? The Cowboys being hosted by the Skins. Now, this is interesting. Because while the Redskins, quote-unquote, won the last game, it was due to Romo getting hurt. Romo may not even play in this game. I don't know that I would play him in this game. But Chris has the Cowboys. I'm gonna say the Cowboys. Weasel, what you got?
I would agree. Cowboys are looking good now.
No faith in RG3. I don't blame you either.
He's kind of playing for our job now.
Yeah, that's true. You know someone else is playing for a job?
Charlie Whitehurst as he hosts the Indianapolis Colts. Yeah, I got the Colts. I'm sorry. So too does Chris.
Colts first.
Oh, the Titans.
Yeah, Colts.
I'm so shocked as they make their jockey to try to get that first round pick. Detroit and Green Bay, the Week 17 matchup, going all the way around. Chris has the Packers. I got to be honest, I don't think the Packers have the defense to compete, and they have Reggie Bush, and they have Megatron, but they have Aaron freaking Rodgers. I can't pick against them. Nah, I got the Packers. Weasel.
It's like, which Aaron Rodgers will we see?
Seriously. I mean, because that defensive line could make the difference. I like the vengeance factor. I like that they're playing in Lambeau for this. I mean, yeah. I got the Packers.
I'll go opposite on this one. I got the Lions.
Contrarian!
Yep.
Okay. Jacksonville goes to Houston. yeah. Are you hot for J.J. Watt, Weasel?
I'll pick the Texans.
That's a yes. Now, this game is huge for playoff placement. The winner of this game, I believe, gets at least a 6th seed. San Diego and Kansas City. It's at Arrowhead. Chris has the Chargers. I can't share in that confidence. I'm going Chiefs on this one, Weasel.
Go with the Chargers.
See, with the way they've been playing lately, it's just hard for me to take the Chargers seriously. They're on their 5th starting center against that defense. Look, I don't care if they throw a touchdown to a wide receiver or not. Someone's got to stop Jamaal Charles, and it ain't them. I'm just saying. Jets and Dolphins. Chris has the Dolphins. I have the Dolphins. Weasel, do you have the Dolphins?
Huh. I'll keep it with the Dolphins.
So much for that contrarian pick. Now, Chicago visiting Minnesota. Chris has the Vikings. I have the Vikings, Weasel.
Well, you'll have a desperate Jay Cutler play this game. So, yeah, I'll just stay with the Vikings.
Three-way homer! Anyways, Buffalo at New England. Keep in mind, New England is hosting and is playing to keep the top seed in the AFC. Chris has the Pats. I have the Pats just because I can't trust Kyle Orton. Weasel.
I'll take the Pats.
That's what I thought you would say. The Eagles and the Giants. I know the Eagles really have nothing to play for. Neither do the Giants. But I do have the Eagles winning this football game. Weasel.
I got the Giants.
Oh, your boy Odell Beckham going to go crazy on him is what I guess you're saying, huh? I don't know. Anyways, Sunday night game. Huge game. And they actually flexed this game. I can tell by looking at it. The Steelers and the Bengals. Chris has the Steelers. I have the Steelers. Not because of Andy Dalton and his inability to be consistent. But because they don't have Vontaze Burfict to stop Le'Veon Bell. And I think the Steelers will run all over them. Weasel, Bengals or Steelers?
Surprisingly, I'll pick the Steelers.
Hey, what's the main character's name on The Simpsons? Oh, Homer. Okay. Anyways, the Saints are hosted by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, trying to do their best to stay atop the draft pick for 2015. If the Saints win, so too do the Buccaneers, a first-round draft pick. Chris has the Saints. I have the Saints. Weasel.
I got the Saints, too.
All the way around. Guess what? Oakland at Denver. Chris has the Broncos. I have the Broncos. Weasel.
Gotta get the Broncos.
And guess what? I guess they'll be cheering for the Bills to beat the Patriots. I don't think that'll happen either. Arizona at San Francisco, playing for their chance to win the division should the Seahawks falter. Chris has the Cards. I have the Cards. Is an Arizona win in the Cards for Weasel? See what I did there?
Yeah, Arizona.
It is.
Yep.
Three ways all the way around there. St. Louis going to the 12th man. Playing against Seattle. Chris has the Seahawks. I have the Seahawks to win the NFC West. Weasel.
The matchup.
Now, keep in mind, the chicanery of special teams that took place last time is what got the Rams to win. I don't know that they're going to get away with that again.
I'll go with the Seahawks.
Yeah. Avoiding chicanery in favor of the Seahawks.
Boom. You know what's a fun word to say, Weasel? Chicanery. Oh, good times all the way around. Sad that we didn't have Chris this week, but we see how it's going. I have, let's see, how many games different than Chris? One, two, oh, snap. I have two games different than Chris. I could narrow the gap to one game. Hey, Weasel, you know what I'm doing, right? I'm creeping up. By the way, something you should do is creep up on our Twitter pages. At the SOTG, you can find me. Find, what's his name? Oh, yeah. Weasel Weesh.
Yeah, boy.
Steven Weasel Hurley at Weasel the SOTG. Of course, ranking the SOTG is where you'll find Chris. He will be back with us next week, unless his firefighting schedule conflicts, you know, because selfless sacrifice and stuff like that. yeah. Damn moral fiber. But, yeah, we'll be coming to you with the wrap-up for Week 17 and playoff previews. And, Weasel, we're 2 weeks away. Count them, 2 Mondays away from the 2014 SOTG Superlatives. You're stoked, I can
tell. Should be interesting, yeah.
I am. I mean, we're talking Rookie of the Year. MVP's up in the air now that Dallas did what they did to whatever. Will J.J. Watt make the cut, or will people be lazy and pick Aaron Rodgers? So much turmoil. I can't handle it. But I don't know. If you want to go and take a respite from any turmoil you're facing, stop at NGSC Sports. Check out the content there. Quality reads all the way around. And, hey, Tuan Staley was at the Miami Beach Bowl today. You'll see him shortly on the College Cram talking it up with my man Josh Zimmer doing his thing. And then the night of the 23rd, my man Tuan Staley be covering the Boca Bowl. Thereafter, he will be on the Extra Point on Friday. But in the meantime, this being the last episode before Christmas, taking the time out here for all of us here at the Student of the Game and NGSC Sports, please have a good, safe, and happy holiday. Hey, we want you to keep listening to the show. We want to keep sharing football awesome with you. So if you don't stay safe, we can't do that. Very simple logic. I didn't think it was difficult. Did you?
No, I got it.
Boom. If Weasel gets it, it can't be that hard. Hey, I'm saying that after you picked the Titans to win last week.
Look, you do. I'm going to bring it within single digits, I hope.
Well, that you
that's, my new,
to,
that's my
well,
new that's my new goal.
Single digits. Way to reach for the stars, Weasel. Good job. Anyways, we'll be reaching for the stars for you next week. But until next time, my friends, with all the holiday joy in the world, it may not be jingle bells that you're going to hear, but it'll be a different bell telling you that class is dismissed.